like to speak about Chodesh Elul in the Shir today. Now, when I was, I always read these books and this Sfarim, and they say, oh, in the olden days, everyone used to say when Elul came, everyone was frightened. So I have to say the truth is that I guess I'm quite young, almost only close to 55 years. I don't remember as a young child hearing, you know, it's Elul, be frightened. I heard stories about Elul. I do remember Rosh Hashanah, Aser Shemei Tshuva. There was a certain fear, a certain awe I felt in my house around Chicago. I'm not sure if I feel the same way today. I mean, Eretz Yisrael Rosh Hashanah has a more of a festive atmosphere. I do remember that in my yeshiva, my father's yeshiva actually, was a very serious davening. And in general, no one spoke Shir Chazar Shas. And nobody spoke from the time they started blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah until the last tekiah. And my father held, I might have given a share on this once, that the last tekiahs were when you finished davening. Which means that I think it was the last 10, not the last 30, he blew the last tekiahs after Anz Miros, after Aleinu, right before right after Anz Miros. They blew it. That was in order that people should go into the tekiah shofar. And no one spoke. I remember my first year, but I didn't daven my father's yeshiva, I didn't daven in the yeshiva, I davened in the shul. And people were talking, Chazar Shashash Hashanah. I couldn't believe it. Not only that, they were even talking Chazar Shashash and Musaf Yom Kippur. During Nila, no one spoke. But there's a certain, as I say, when I was a child, I remember hearing, oh my gosh, Elul, they used to say that today. I'd like to understand what Elul should mean for us, what's the lesson of Elul. Now, it's important to know before I begin that in terms of what's written in the sources, the Gemara, the Medrash, I'd like to refer to our customs of Chodesh Elul as post-Talmudic. What does that mean, post-Talmudic? Post-Talmudic means that, yes, it's very possible they said Slichos during Chodesh Elul. Because it's mentioned in Machlokes Rishonim that in Babel, in the time of the Gaonim, there were two variant customs. Whether they said Slichos during the whole Chodesh Elul, like the Sfardim do, whether they said Slichos during only Aser Shemei Tshuva, like the Rambam mentions. However, and it could be that that custom came from the time of Chazal. But in terms of how we commemorate Chodesh Elul, the sources all our post-Talmudic come from the Svarim after the Gemara, after Chasimas HaTalmud. That being said, still important. Much of what we do, many of our customs are definitely post-Talmudic, and it's important. And I like to say, how should we today, who maybe don't walk around in fear of Hol Chodesh Elul, maybe we should, how should we perceive what's the lesson of Chodesh Elul? So first of all, just to see that the idea of Chodesh Elul is really more post-Talmudic that started in various regions, if you look at source number one, and for those on the sort of Daf Makarot, the source sheet, I'll read slowly. He says, we say in the Torah for the Tzomos, he says, V'yosa karov, v'shu v'yosa karov, you should seek out God when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close. And the Miri, Nechibur HaTshuva says, Sheroyu l'chol, it makes sense for men, everyone, l'ishtad el'chon Rosh Hashanah, before Rosh Hashanah, but Hefster or Tfilos, the Aros Chubos, to really to daven more, and that's Tzlichos that we do, and to awaken themselves to Tshuva, Kadesh Yikones Rosh Hashanah B'Taras Aleif, in order that we can come to Rosh Hashanah with a pure heart. Umizet Nahulgu B'Mekomos, and because this that minute arise and arose in various places, Lakum B'Lailos, to get up at night, L'Kvav, Sila B'Sechnetes, to make feel in all the shuls, the chol sheni v'chamish shel Elul, not every day, but every Monday and Thursday, that we do in our service to make shul. In other words, it's customs that came about. What is the uniqueness of Chodesh Elul? So, according to Miri, it seems unique of Chodesh Elul is that Chodesh Elul comes really before Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, it's important for Rosh Hashanah comes that we should be prepared for Rosh Hashanah. However, the Chaya Adam, and this is the source, points out the uniqueness of Chodesh Elul, even though it might be our custom of Chodesh Talmudic, really come from the time the Jews were in the Midbar. The Chodesh Elul, because of what happened in the Midbar, became a very auspicious time to do tshuva. And the Chaya Adam is in Klal Kuflam Ches, Sif Aleph. I think it's a famous Chaya Adam. I think we mentioned it, this idea. And he said that the Ava, Kodesh Baruch Hu, is Am Yisrael, because Kodesh Baruch Hu loves us so much. So therefore, in order to do good for us, and we should have the opportunity, right? He gave us the opportunity to do tshuva anytime. However, and therefore, even though tshuva is good anytime, however, Chodesh Elul is Mufchar is the best, and it's already prepared that our tshuva should be received in the rest of the year. Why? So he uses the days for the fisha yomim elu hemi reyotzom mi'eshin ocharnu la'ad. Because these days became yimei ratzom, days that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do tshuva, from the time it became chosen as a people. When the Jewish people sinned the eagle, and Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos in 70 of Tammuz, and then Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai for 40 days, and he davened, and Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "P'sol lecha," and he decided, Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to give us the luchos shnios, the second set of second tablets, and then he went up on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and he stayed until Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur was the Gemar HaKapara. And he says, and therefore he says, and what were the Jews doing all 40 days while Moshe Rabbeinu was in Shemayim to attain the Gemar HaKapara? So during all those 40 days, the Jewish people were involved in Tzom, in fasting, kindness. And the last of those days was Yom Kippur, and therefore there were gozer a tainus for us, and therefore that day Yom Kippur has become Yom Kippurim forever. Since on that day that was the end of the kapara and the time of the egel, so because that Yom Kippur, a little more than 40 years from now, because of that time, that generation has become our day of kapara of atonement also. And because the Chayot finishes off, Lefisha Yom Elu Yemei Ratzon Mayaz, and since in those days, the 40 days were Yemei Ratzon, therefore every year, we're Ma'orer, we awaken Rachamim in those days too. So the reason why Elul had become special, Chayot points out, is because when the Jews were in the Midbar, and the Jewish people sinned at the time of the Chayot Egel, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they had 40 days where Moshe Rabbeinu was working, they were working, and became very special days, and for generations, exactly when we were Kaveh this minute, but became in our spirit to work during these 40 days to attaining Kapara. So I think in order to understand what Elul was about, and since Elul were the days we tried to attain Kapara, we have to ask ourselves, well, did the Jewish people and Aaron and Makoe really attain Kapara? Now, of course we did. That's what the Torah says. But let's understand what Kapara means. And I want to begin, it's not on the sheet, with something from last week's Parsha. Okay, so I'll try to explain. In last week's Parsha, in Perik Yud, Pasuk Aleph, the Torah tells us, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ve'ezeh Yom HaShem Elai, I want you to view out two luchos avonim. And he says, and I will write in the luchos the same words that were, on the first luchos. And you'll make an iron eight. And Moshe Rabbeinu said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote on the luchos. And I came down from the mountain, I put the luchos in the Aron. And then the Torah tells them, Pasuk Vav, and the Jews traveled from Meberes, Meyakom, Mosera, and there Aron died. And the question the first one deal with is, what do you mean there Aron died? Aaron died at the end of the 40 years. This is a question that a lot of the Mephorshim deal with. And Rashi asks, like, what is the connection? She says, so it could be that the connection is that the day a tzaddik dies is like the luchos were broken. The Abarmanel says something fascinating. Abarmanel says, the Torah is telling us something here. Do you know why Aaron died? This is what Bar Barnell says. The Torah says, Aaron died here, even though he got Kapara, because of the Chet HaEgel. Alright? And the Torah, in a certain sense, masks the real reason why. But Moshe Rabbeinu also, it wasn't just the Chet Meriva. Moshe Rabbeinu said, because of the Chet Meriva, I also, Hashem can agree with me too. So the Yikar Rishon, the Yechan, that's why it's mentioned here. So we see that even though the Jews were given Kapara, there wasn't a total Kapara. And as a matter of fact, if you go look in source number, you look at source number 3 and 4, and then source number 5, so Vayomer El Aaron, Parsha Shemini, Paraket Pasuk Beis, Hashem said to Aaron, Kach la'igol ha'bakol ha'chadot v'ayla ola t'mimim v'hakrab ne'Hashem, why kach la'igol la'odiyah shemechabr lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu adei egel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Aaron kapara for the egel, even though he didn't get kapara, but maybe it wasn't a total kapara, maybe we have to redefine what kapara means. And if you look at source number 5, source number 5 is the Safra. So Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem says, "V'yomer al Aaron, kach la'egel and bagel l'chadas." So Moshe said to Aaron, he says, "Aaron achi, afal fish nisrata makom l'chadal b'nascha." Even though Hashem's Baruch Hu wants to atone, forgive you for your sin, still you have to put into the mouth of the satan. So he says, "Send the present to him." What it means? It gets to the satan, I don't want to get into now, I'm not sure I understand it myself. He says, however, it sees that there was still something missing. And Aaron, in order to further the kapara, had to bring another korban. And then he says, V'shem Tomer, maybe you'll think that only you, Aaron, need a kapara? No! Aaron Yisrael also needs. Shem Ne'amar, V'yel B'nei Yisrael D'Dabra Le'emor, K'chusir Yizan L'chatas. So how come Bnei Yisrael to bring two karbanos and Aaron only one? So the Moshe Rabbeinu said that Aaron had one. I only used the word avera, but he did one thing, one mistake, and that was the egel. But you did two mistakes. What are the two mistakes? One mistake was with the seer Ezin when you sold Yosef, and the second mistake, the Yehi, he says yes, v'yetchem b'chila v'yishlu seer Ezin. The Yechetzchem himself, he made the Egel, and therefore it should be Mechaper. So according to the Safra, Aaron had to bring a korban to be Mechaper for the Chet Egel, and Am Yisrael had to bring a korban to be Mechaper for the Chet Egel and for the Chet of Mechiras Yosef selling Yosef. So again, we see that the Kapara doesn't seem to be a total Kapara, or as I said, we have to redefine what the Kapara was. And if you think, okay, so maybe when the Mishkan was built and Aaron consecrated the Mishkan, brought the Kapara came. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, source number 6. The Gemara in source number 6 points out, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Ein lecha kol peronos de peronos sheba la'olam, she'ein ba echad mi esin varba behechro litera she'egel rishon. So Yitzchak says, if you think that we're not going to be visited by the Chet HaEgel for generations, we're incorrect. Because every peronus, any challenge, or anything, any tzara that comes upon Am Yisrael, you should know, he says, part of it is due to the Chet of the HaEgel HaRishon in the Midbar. As the Pasuk says, Uv'yom Pakti, Upakarti alem chatosa. Yes, I will visit upon you the sin.
See, so this contradicts that Hashem will only punish Ashleishim Avivayim, only up to the fourth.
So, in other words, obviously, so what does that mean? That means is because Ochazin Masiyat 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 Avivayim. They followed the way. So, hopefully, I'll try to explain what that means. But obviously, our Kodesh Baruch, but the same thing with the Chayt and the Meraglim. In other words, what it means is, yes. We because we followed in the ways of those who committed the egel in some way, we're going to be punished also. But this is what the pasuk says.
We make our own egel.
We make our own egel, but we have to understand how this all fits in. Hopefully, I'll try to explain it. Now, he said that if you want to see the pasuk, it's the source number 7, paragraph of that pasuk, lamedal, ba'atol leich mechayet om, l'asher debarti loch, hinei malachi yeleich lefanecha, uviyom hapti aleyam chatosam. And just to the source number 8, Rashi Sechus Tainus. So we have the Sechus Tainus, the Gemara says, the very end of the Sechus Tainus. Gemara says, the Mishnah says, the two happiest days of the year were Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av. Tu B'Av. And the Gemara says, discusses, well, why was Tu B'Av such a happy day? And the Gemara gives many explanations of what happened on Tu B'Av. Yom Kippur, the Gemara says, it's clear. It's the Yom Slicha Mechila. Today we have forgiveness. So the Gemara says, and therefore Yom Kippur has a dual essence behind it. On one hand, it's a Yom Slicha Mekapara. Today we're in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're frightened. On the other hand, it's also a Yom, it's a Yom to the Yom of Simcha. However, the Rashi points out, so why is it? Because Rashi is the second finest, that the day Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the second Luchos, that day became Yom Kippur, to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is very important, these words, Shlodiya Shemachal, V'nichama La'ro Asher Dibra La'asas La'amo. What did he gain? Mechila? Because Baruch Hu, yes, there was Mechila. There was Kapara. But the Mechila was on the Ra'ah Hashem intended originally to give. But there was still something there that had to be dealt with, as the Gemara Sanhedrin says. I'd like to explain what that means. Now, before I explain, to go into the to the rest of the Shir, try to understand Chodesh Elul, I want to finish off with one question. So if you ask somebody, what does Chodesh Elul mean? Not Ashkenazi, not Sephardi. Sephardi is very clear. Chodesh Elul is Slichus. I have two or three men who davened my shul from Eibes HaMizrach, and basically we told them. I think I'm not sure if it's Sunday. They said, "You know, this week, this is it. After Sunday, we're not going to see them until the after Yom Kippur. They don't show up because they davened Slichus a whole month." But for us. Maybe it's Kiyah Shofar. And also, we know that we say L'davar Hashem Ori V'Yishi. That is the other part of Chodesh Elul. And L'davar Hashem Ori V'Yishi, not only do we say during Chodesh Elul, Aser Simei Tshuva, and it goes with us, for us living in Eretz Yisrael, through Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, the last day we sit in the Sukkah. And I was thinking about it this year. If you look at L'davar Hashem Ori, until you get to the end of L'davar Hashem Ori, there really is no mandate in L'davar Hashem Ori. Really, there's nothing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dabar Melech is not telling us what to do. We speak about how close we feel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there for us. Hashem is my light, he's my salvation. When people come to eat my flesh, they're going to fall. If a machane, if there's an army that camps against me, I rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shifting the base Hashem, I want to be in the base Hashem, Kol Mechaya, I want to be in the house of God my whole life. When I'm in the sukkah, so it will save me from the evil day, and I'm gonna think about Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'm gonna search out Kodesh Baruch Hu, don't hide from me. The last pasuk is Kaveh El Hashem, Chazeg Yam Slivecha V'Kaveh El Hashem. Hope in God. Strengthen yourself, strengthen your heart, and help in God again. That's the mandate. That's the mandate of Chodesh Elul, and actually Rashi says it's the mandate, and it's fascinating because if you think about it, especially for those who daven Nusach Svar, that's the last word of Yimei Hatshuva, because Yimei Hatshuva begin from Rosh Chodesh Elul and go until Hoshana Rabbah. And for those, I daven Nusach Ashkenaz. So the last time I said L'davar Hashem Ori is Shachris, after Musaf on Hoshana Rabbah. But for those who daven Nusach Sfarad, they say L'davar Hashem Ori at Mincha. And the last thing they say is Kaveh El Hashem. But even for myself and those on Nusach Ashkenaz, really the last mandate of Chodesh Elul, of Tshuva, is Kaveh El Hashem. What does Kaveh El Hashem mean? So the Gemara Maseches Brachos, he says, the Gemara Maseches Brachos points out, source number 10, Daf Lamed Beis. Amed Beis. Imra Adam, Sheyispav Lo Nana. The person sees that he's davening and he's not answered. Yachsor Yispalel. Daven again. Shenemar, Kaveh El Hashem, hope in God. Chazav Yam Mislibecha. Strengthen yourself, hope again. Strengthen your Hachadik, yourself Chizak and courage. Bekamel Hashem and hope in God again. And daven again. Keep davening. And if God doesn't answer the second time, daven a third time. And daven a fourth time. And daven a fifth time. And as long as you feel you have this need, keep davening. That's the last mandate of Chodesh Elul of Tshuva. Keep davening. Yes, Rosh Hashanah might be over. Sukkot's going to be over. Sukkot's going to be over. So it's about to start. Kitav. So obviously here I think is a key of what, since it's the only mandate in Dabar Shemori, the only obligation, it must be a key to help us understand what our approach to Chodesh Elul is. So there's an interesting Gemara which you all know, Masech Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara there, Amar Rabbi Kuspidoi, I think he must be one of the more famous Amorayim, not because he is mentioned so many times, but because of what he says. He says, Shlosha Svarim Ne Dachtez Ba'ayim Adeis. Shlosha Svarim Ne Tachim Rosh Hashanah. There are three books that are open Rosh Hashanah. Echot Shal Roshayim Gemurim, those who are completely wicked. The Echot Shal Tzadikim Gemurim, and those that are completely righteous, the Echad shall bathe them, and those who are hovering in between. Tzadikim Gemurim, those who are Tzadikim Gemurim, Nechtavim, the Nechtanim, La'alto L'chayim, Amidim Rosh Hashanah, get written, sealed for life. Roshayim Gemurim, those who are Roshayim Gemurim, Nechtavim, Nechman La'alto L'misa, and Beinanim, Tluyim Ba'on Rosh Hashanah Ad Yom Kippur. The Beinanim, those who are hovering in between, they're hanging. Shoshan Yom Kippur, and therefore our Seres Yemechuvah is a time of Tshuva. Zachuv, the Zoch had to have successful Seres Yemechuvah on Nechtav and Lechayim. Lo Zachuv, Nechtav and Lemisa, they're written for death. Okay, we all, this is something we all know. And as a matter of fact, I think for this reason, so the custom is, at least my father did this, I try to do this, that on Rosh Hashanah night, we always say to people, Rosh Hashanah Tova, Techasim, and Techasim. But L'chaim, we don't say it the second, I don't say it the second night. Why? Because we don't want to give someone a bracha and say, you're only a Beinoni for the second night. We say, good Yomtiv, you might say Shana Tova, you might say Gemara Tov. We don't want to assume that someone's a Beinoni, so we still say Gemara Tov. At least my father never said, Rosh Hashanah Tova, Techasim, and Techasim, the second night of Rosh Hashanah, only the first night. Now, the question that they ask is, what exactly is decided? What do you mean? Is decided whether a person is going to live or is going to die that year? Well, obviously, we know sometimes a day of a person's life and death is actually decided before he's born. Is it decided what's going to happen in Olam Haba? That's decided after a person passes away. And we've shown them, so the Ramban points out, discuss what kind of year you're going to have. You're going to have what you need to live. It's going to be a hard year, an easy year. The Tosfos HaRosh, source number 11. So he points out, he says, listen, he says, if we're talking about Beinanim, that means that what's a tzaddik? A tzaddik is somebody who has more merits than sins. And a rasha is someone who has more sins than merits. So what does it mean, l'chaim u'lemisa? So it can't mean who's going to die or live that year. That's impossible, because then you would have so many people who would be living, right? Who may be, you know, who would be alive, who maybe passed away that year. And vice versa, people who are shy that should have died. So he says, and we know, he says, whether a person lives or dies does not depend on your sins or your merits. So he says, so what does it mean? He says, it's Chai Olam Haba. What does it mean, Chai Olam Haba? He says, it's the Sarash on Yom Kippur where you're headed, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you, make it easier in a sense for you to go to your goal, reach your goal. What does that mean? It means that a person, to reach a goal, you have to have certain challenges, right? A person doesn't come down to earth without challenges. And just like whenever we're working towards a certain degree, education, a project, we have challenges to accomplish that goal. Life is about those challenges, also that goal too. And therefore, how a person behaves the year before, and what is Haseres Mechuvah is like, Shani and Kippur is like, according to this, well, where is this person really headed? Where should he be in the coming year? Is this the person headed to Olam Haba, to paradise? Or is the person headed somewhere else? And therefore, I'm going to create a program for him this year, as Baruch Hu says, that will enable him to come towards that goal. And if you look at the end he says, you look at the end of the Tosa Rosh, he says, and I'm trying to explain it in a nicer way, and he says it, but it is what he means. Three lines from the bottom of source number 11, Tosa Rosh, Tosa Roshana, Hilchah Chai Chaim Amisa Dekamar, this life and death that we talk about, this is Chai Olam Haba, and Misa Misa Olam Haba. The Morosh Shelo, Ugzerosh Shoshana Zu, because what happens in this year, Tluyin Ba, depends on where a person's headed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu can see where the person's headed. Now, by the way, a person in one year can have such a year where HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides, oh my gosh, this person is not headed to Chai Olam Haba, and the next year he can change. He says, Shegozen Al Tzadik Zeros Kadosh Baruch Hu Hazeh. So sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he goes on a Tzadik, certain Zeros, not pleasant Zeros, not pleasant degrees, decrees, Liparmanu, in order that he should, he should, in a certain sense, be challenged because of Averus, and somehow or another to grow more, and maybe a Rasha will be given a good life, that he can end up where he's supposed to be going. In other words, the bottom line is that what you see is that Rosh Hashanah is not about this year itself. Rosh Hashanah is about what this year is going to be in order to take you to the ultimate goal. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be looking at us and saying, well, this person in 7 years is supposed to go Olam Haba. The way he acted now, I see, what does he need for this coming year in order to make him, bring him closer to his goal? That's the idea. According to Tosfos Rosh, Chaim, Misa, what's about is, where is he headed? Whether it's in 10 years or 20 years or 50 years. And what does he need in this year to come to that goal? What does he need? So, I think based on the Tosfos Rosh, what we can learn out is the idea that really everything is just a process. It's a process. And, you know, we speak about tshuva and we speak about kapara. It's not something necessarily happens in 1 year. Because if you think about it, we have a great Yom Kippur. You know, certain shuls, my shul has a custom day after Yom Kippur, we start a minute earlier. To show that we're really davening. Really, is there a major difference in our lives between the day after Yom Kippur and the day before Yom Kippur? That's the question people ask. And let's give an answer to that. How is it that Yom Kippur night, what's Yom Kippur? We just got kapara for all our sins. And, you know, what do? We heard the shofar, we sang the song about Yerushalayim, we danced, and all of a sudden everyone says, "Behu rachu mechaper rabon." What sin did we do? There are many answers that are given. But one answer is, yes, I came a little closer to my goal, but I'm still far away. And every year, it's a process. Like Tosfos Rosh says, it's not over. We're working towards a goal. And every year we work, we go ahead, and we work towards that goal. And I think that based on this idea, we can understand what is the kapara of the ego that Aaron was promised, that the Am Yisrael was promised. And I think that that's a part of the Egel that Am Yisrael was promised, and that the Jewish people were promised, that Aaron was promised, Jews were promised, was this idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy Am Yisrael. That's what he said. He said to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara tells, they said, Hashem says, I'm going to destroy Klal Yisrael, and I will go ahead and I will build a new nation from you. And we know Moshe Rabbeinu begged the Kadosh Baruch Hu, because I'll tell us, he says, listen, if to understand the conversation is hard, but if Am Yisrael could not exist from three of us, how are they going to come from me? And I feel embarrassed. I can't defend Klal Yisrael. I can't help Klal Yisrael. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu was able to attain kapara and full kapara. And what does full kapara mean? Full kapara means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Am Yisrael can come back to where they were. But it doesn't happen overnight, it takes time. Things take time. It's a goal. It's a goal which is not a lifetime, like the Tosfos Rosh points out. It's a goal which lasts generations. And that's why even though Rashi says that Aaron got kapara, which he didn't get kapara, Because that kapara was that Moshe, that Aaron was able without his life. However, according to the Barbanel, according to, it seems Pashat Shat and Parshas Eikev, because right after the Egel, Aaron's death is mentioned. Aaron Cohen would have to pass away. Because Am Yisrael and Aaron have to work towards that. This was part of the kapara process. They have to go ahead and they have to work. They have to work towards the kapara process. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that, yes, then what happened? And because of the Egel, the Jews were in a certain spot. We got Mechil, we got kapara. But every generation in a certain way was affected in how they served the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we have to bring ourselves back, and we're bringing ourselves back. And it takes time. And that's why Rashi points out, in the Sefer Tanya, at the Amud Beis, Lo via shenimachal v'nimcha micham ala rosh ediber. Hashem forgave them. He changed his mind in order for the evil that he wanted to do to them. But still, they have to work. And it takes time. And that's why on a certain level, yes, Aaron got kapara, as Rashi points out in source number 4, but still, and even though, as the Safra says, he wanted to give kapara, but still you have to give into the Pishal Sata, send the present. It's not complete. You still have to work on it. And the Sata symbolizes the idea that there's still things to do. There's still challenges. In other words, the work that the challenge that was created because of the Egel is still there. And that is also what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Am Yisrael, the challenge in Mechiras Yosef, the challenge in Egel, Am Yisrael has to still work on that. And I think that really, in a certain sense, that we think about it, that's what Chodesh Elul is about. Chodesh Elul is, yes, there's 10 days of tshuva, or Shabbat Yom Kippur, but Chodesh Elul teaches us that it's a long process. It's not just 10 days. To start from someday, Yom Rishon, because it's a process, just like the Kapara for the Egel is a process that spans generations. And this idea is really, I think, the idea that Rav Kook is trying to bring out. Rav Kook on this Gemara, what's the idea of keep davening? Why should I give up? I daven. Why should I go ahead and I give up? And let them know that maybe what you're asking for, it's not impossible, it's probably not going to happen. Keep davening. Rav Kook points out in source number 12 in Ayo that the purpose of tefillah, tachlis tefillah, is very hard. Vasagas mevukash, that comes through, is in order to bring the potential, our shleimus, our potential to completion. It says in order to go ahead and to cause the kochas or kochas hanefesh to arouse. And the bottom line is there are many pictures that each person can have, what our goal is supposed to be, how we're supposed to get there. And we might not even understand what our goal is supposed to be. We might not understand. However, Rav Kook says, the Tzura Lamim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the second line, he understands everything. And therefore, because of that, because he understands, there are certain things that we are lacking, whether it's monetarily, whether it's in terms of health, whether it's in terms of relationships, whether it's in terms of family. How many families are struggling with challenges from the children, from relationships, friends? There's so many things always on there. And therefore, and that causes us to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to daven because that davening helps us reach that goal. It helps us somehow paint that picture of ourselves. And therefore, even though we daven, and we daven, and we daven, and we don't see the Yeshua, the salvation, still keep davening. Because the davening helps us. It does something else. And we should never give up and think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't help us. And the bottom line is the higher the goal is, the harder it is to daven. Sometimes it seems harder to see the salvation. But the point is, it's a process, what Kook says. Everything is a process. And that's why you keep davening. The process isn't one tefillah. It's not 1 year. It can be 10 years. It can be 15 years. I have to tell you that I heard a beautiful story about my grandmother. I saw written, my grandmother, my mother's mother. Just something interesting to keep in mind. That there was an Adam Gadol, which you, many of you have heard of, Rav Shiskal. Rav Shiskal was Moshe Feinstein's son-in-law. Okay? And he became sick as a young man before he got married. And I heard a story years ago, he actually lived right next to my grandmother, Lea Shalom. He was very close to my father. My father would come to New York to Streitz, because he was Rav Masher Streitz. He'd go visit my grandmother, so where they lived in the co-op, so I understand there were paper-thin walls. And Rav Shiskal would hear my father walk into my grandmother's apartment. He would be right there to discuss learning, to discuss Torah. Happened when he was Niftar, my father was here in Eretz Yisrael that summer, and my father went to the Levaya, and whoever was in charge didn't want to allow my father to be Masvid. Everyone can try to guess why, and the family got involved and says, no, they were very close, he has to be Masvid. That being said, when Rav Shiskal became sick, leukemia in those days, so they became better, and my grandmother, Allah Shalom, met him on the street. And he says, I'm happy to see you walking around. And I want you to know that everyone stopped davening for you because you're better. But I'm davening for you still. I'm davening that you should continue to grow and be healthy and become a gadol b'torah. That's what she said to him. And when my grandmother passed away, he came to the shiva and he said he was very worried. Because he felt he was riding my grandmother's tefillos. And that summer, he passed away. I think he was sick already, actually, at that point. When he came out of remission. But that being said, is the point is to keep davening. You've got to daven and daven. Why? And sometimes you daven for some of your own needs, your family's needs, and sometimes you daven for someone else's needs that you feel close to. Because when you daven somewhere or another, that helps you create, come closer to that picture you're supposed to be. Never give up, you never stop. And that's why it says, Kaveh Hashem. And what do we hope for? Not just hope that the salvation should come. Kaveh, hope that you should be able to reach that goal, to become fully potential, become who you're supposed to be. And this is the point of tefillah, of helping you become who you're supposed to be. And therefore, you keep davening, never give up. Obviously, if something is impossible, we're told not to daven anymore. Find something else to daven for. But as long as something's possible, keep davening. That's the idea. Keep doing tshuva. Keep doing tshuva. It's a long process. And I think that that's why, we finish off. We say, the Dov Hashem Ori, this is the mandate of Chodesh Elul, Kaveh El Hashem. Keep hoping in God. Keep working on yourself. And that's the last thing we say. In the holiday time of tshuva, the last thing is Kaveh Hashem. Yes, Yom Kippur might be over, Elul is over, but Kaveh Hashem, don't stop. You got to keep working on that picture. Just want to finish off with a very nice idea that I heard a few years ago. Someone quoted in the Shem of Derech HaMelech. Who's a Derech HaMelech? Derech HaMelech is a sefer I have here. It's actually, I just received it last week. It's part of the story. This is the different Torah written by the Piazetzner Rebbe, Hashem Yinkom Damo, that used to be the Shalosh Shus. And I guess one of his Hasidim wrote it up. And he doesn't have on every single parsha, obviously not every single year. For example, he has in Parshas Ekev, and not until Parshas Hazino. I guess that's when he went, to do his own Hizbodavus. And I heard a number of years ago a certain idea. And I felt it, I'll some of the ideas in a minute, and I felt the idea was very appropriate for this year. So I went to HebrewBooks.org, and I saw it wasn't there. I had a problem. So living in the Ramat Beit Shemesh, so the PSS, the Rebbe today, who I know published this forum, lives, and I called up, I said, I want to come take a picture of the Dvar Torah. So he says, just take a picture. He says, which Dvar Torah is it? I said, the first Dvar Torah in Parshas Ekev. She said, well, okay. I said, I never saw the sefer. I heard it. I just want to see the sefer. So he says, okay. He says, you know what? He says, send one of your kids in. I'll give you the sefer as a present. Now, I just moved last week. I'm 20 years being in the same house. And my learning changed so much. I used the computer a lot. I gave away a lot of svarim. I said, I'm not taking any svarim anybody anymore. But that resolution didn't last too long. So I have this tape for Derech HaMelech. And I actually copied part of the Derech HaMelech on the other side. It's hard to read, so I'm going to paraphrase most of it. And the question is based on source number 13, Parshas Eichet. It says, Ki'im shamor tishmarun es kol ha-mitzvah zos, asher nochi mitzvah etchem. If you watch this mitzvah, and the Mefarshim point out that what is this mitzvah referring to? This is after volume Shemora. This is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Keep learning that I command you la-sosa, la-avat Hashem alakechem, to love Hashem, u-lechet v'chol d'rochot, u-ledav kabot. And he says, you have a comment in Rachel Ledav Kabot, but the Piyaz Etzmer, Derech HaMelech asked the question that we're speaking to Rachav means all the mitzvot. We're speaking now. The beginning of the Pasuk speaks about the mitzvah of those, mitzvah of learning Torah. And then the end of the Pasuk talk speaks about going b'chol Rachav in all the mitzvot. And it seems to be not consistent. The beginning of the Pasuk is talking Lashon Yachad. And the end of the Pasuk is talking Lashon Rabbim. So in order to explain this, the Derech HaMelech quotes Medrash Tanchuma. Medrash Tanchuma, and this, by the way, is actually, if you can read it, it's the first box on the second side. Vayhi bayom kalos Moshe. When Moshe Rabbeinu finished the Mishkan. Now we know the word Vayhi, when you see the word Vayhi, what does Vayhi usually mean? Something bad is about to happen. Vayhi b'nach HaShemeirosh, Vayhi shofen HaShoftim. They were talking about the Mishkan being finished. Why are they watching Vayihi? And the Medrash Tanchuma gives a mashal. A melech who had a wife, a Dagonis. She was very concerned, very worried. Everything she would be worried about, and she would bother the king. So the melech said, I want you to make me a porphyra. I'm not even sure, some kind of, to do something for him, maybe some kind of clothes. So she started to be involved. And as long as she was making this porphyra, she didn't bother him. She didn't start a fight. Nishlama ha-malacha, the malacha finished, brought it to the king. The king loved it. And then the king said, oh my gosh, I cannot believe this. I am in trouble now. So he says, the wife says, Your Highness, what's going on? I worked so hard to do what you wanted. And now you say I'm in trouble? And he said to her, no, it was great. But now, every time you're involved, you didn't get in a fight with me, I'm doing this wrong, I'm doing that wrong. Now I'm afraid. You're going to get me angry, we're going to fight. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm not here to discuss the relationship the king had with his wife. Alright? They should obviously go for some marriage therapy. He says, however, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, as long as the Jews were involved in the Mishkan, they wouldn't cause trouble. They wouldn't complain. Now that they finished the Mishkan, Vayhi Bayom Kalos Moshe. So, the Derech HaMelech points out that a lot of times we're involved in the Avodas Hashem. A lot of times, and it's great. And sometimes the Avodas Hashem comes from something extraneous, a Rebbe, a parent, a friend, but sometimes something's coming deep from the inside. Sometimes you have a boy who's become bar mitzvah and his father's pushing him to finish him a sechta so you can make it see him at the bar mitzvah. And sometimes, you know, something coming from the inside. Says, how do you know when it's coming from the inside? A person who is involved in doing a mitzvah, a person who is involved in learning, and the mitzvah is over, the learning is over, says, Baruch Hashem, that's something extraneous. But a person who goes ahead, and when the mitzvah is over, he gets involved in something else, she gets involved in something else, that means there's something stemming from deep inside. And that's the point that Kadosh Baruch Hu stand out, the Jews were very excited about the Mishkan. They were so involved in the Mishkan. I was so happy. But what's going to be now, Vayihi? What's going to be? What are they going to be involved in? What are they going to do? What do you do? It's very easy to build. But how do you continue? What do you do? That's why it says Vayihi according to Derech HaMelech. And Derech HaMelech continues, Derech HaMelech says, and that's Shabbos Pasuk. Yes, learn Torah. Do this mitzvah. But if you want to show this true Ava, L'leches b'chol drachav. What does it mean, L'leches b'chol drachav? So he says, it's interesting, he says, Shamor tishmerun. Keep watching, the double expression in the Pasuk. Keep doing things. You have to keep being involved. Because you're not always involved, then you're going to fall back. And that's why it says, V'chol drachav, don't look at it as one mitzvah. Start flushing yachad. What else can I do? What else can I do? And I think that's the message of Dov Hashem Ori, and that's the message of Chodesh Elul. Yes, the Meiri is quite clear that really the point of tshuva begins with Hashanah. We do Chodesh Elul to be prepared. And yes, Yom Kippur is the end. But Am Yisrael was working all 40 days. Why? In order that they should understand that it's something which always continues. You do tshuva 10 days a year, it's not enough. And that's, I think, the title of the shir, Elul, the longest month, the long Chodesh Elul, whatever you want to refer to it as. Because really, Elul has to continue a whole year. Not to tell us the truth. Elul. Something to realize that we have to keep being involved in. And that's why the last thing we say, Vodav Hashem Ori, Kavel Hashem Chazveth Lebecha, Rosh Hashanah is over, Yom Kippur is over, Sukkot is over, Shana Rabbah is over, one more day we're going back to the work, we're going back to the coal mine, but keep working on your picture, keep davening, working on that goal that comes to tshuva. And that's maybe one of the ideas of Chodesh Elul, to bring right on the point. It's not a mitzvah for 10 days, for one day. I don't know if we have to be afraid of Chodesh Elul. We're not afraid. But it means that we have to drive home the idea that doing tshuva is a year-long obsession and we have to keep working on it. And if, remember, and it's little by little, as I said, it's little by little, just like the mechila, the kapara that Aaron got and the mechila, the kapara that Am Yisrael got was to work little by little. Until we reach the goal, and hopefully we're close to that goal right now. Hopefully we're very close to that goal. So also for our personal tshuva, our personal goals, we have to work little by little. And we think, where were we at Yom Kippur? We're a little better than last year. But the only way we do that is that after intensity of the 10 days, the 40 days, we keep going. And the point of extending the tshuva for 40 days is to drive on the point. It really has to go throughout the whole year. Everyone should have a very moving Chodesh Elul. Look forward to seeing everybody after Yom Kippur.